Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a sustaining supporter. And what that means is every month, GXC, the kind folks here at GXC, will alert you to the fact that you are money's being taken from your credit card. Not a lot. Whatever you ask, whatever you say you were willing to give, be it $5, be it $100. It's there. They let you know, and you then you don't even have to worry about it. They'll ask you if you want to give that month, and you do, and you don't even know it's gone. You know, it's like it's so much harder. If I had $5 in my pocket and someone said, "Please give me that for the WGXC," I'd say, "Hey, I need it for my coffee, my whatever." But if you're never even saw it and it's online and it's your credit card, you don't even think about it.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Cortell of Woodland Hills, California. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. David Lombardo reports in Capital Confidential that ethics are back in Albany. Well, at least the Senate Ethics and Internal Governance Committee is back. After only meeting twice in the last 2 years under Republican leadership, Democrats have already led the committee to taking part in a joint hearing on sexual harassment in the workplace and considering two bills. One proposal requires interpreters or assistive listening devices to be available for certain public hearings and meetings, and another bill would create a nonpartisan budget office to aid the state legislature. In all, the State Ethics Committee is looking at 11 bills, and a spokesperson for Chairperson Alessandria Biaggi said, and I quote, "The first focus of the Ethics Committee is dealing with the issue of sexual harassment and ensuring that New York State is a leader in making sure everyone is safe at work," end quote. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck, spoke to the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce on February 21st, explaining about his first month in office. Delgado said, and I quote, "As a new member of Congress, I can tell you it was a bit disorienting trying to figure out the lay of the land amidst the longest shutdown of the government in the country's history, and it was profoundly irresponsible and reckless," end quote. A business owner asked the 19th Congressional District Representative about health care costs. He said, and I quote, "What we can do is inject a public competitor into the system and make sure there's at least a floor that will drive down the premiums and drive down the deductibles. We're the only developed country without some form of universal health care. Whether it's a single-payer system, whether it's a public option, we don't have anything, and we've got to change that," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Amanda Purcell reports from Columbia Green Media that four Hudson residents were added as non-voting members to the city's Youth, Education, Seniors, and Recreation Committee of the Hudson Common Council on February 19th. Elena Mosley, Lisa Hines, Kathy Clark, and Kaya Weidman were added at the council's regular monthly meeting. The four have ties to youth organizations in the area as members of the Hudson Out of School Time Collaborative. Mosley said, and I quote, "It makes sense that we start working together and partner with the youth department," end quote. Mosley is the director of Operate Unite, a progressive youth education organization. Weidman serves as the executive director of Kite's Nest, a center for laboratory education located in Hudson. Clark is the program director of the Hudson Blue Hawk Nation After School Program, and Hines is the community engagement coordinator for Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties. The additions come after Mayor Rick Rector removed Nick Zakos as youth department director and then reversed Zakos' demotion after public outcry. As non-voting members, the four will only advise the committee. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature February 20th approved a $50,000 community development block grant loan to help Liam and Laura Singer from Hilo buy Doubles 2, a nightclub on Water Street in Catskill. Current Doubles 2 owner Sam Aldi spoke about the sale. Aldi said, and I quote, "It's not a closing of a business, but a metamorphosis of one. A lot of people wanted to buy it, but I wanted to sell it to people who would carry on the mission of making it a fun place to go," end quote. Hilo is a cafe with live performers some evenings, and Doubles 2 has had DJs perform on weekends for years. The Singers did not reveal their plans to the newspaper, but Aldi says, and I quote, "There will be more hours, more time, more entertainment. I'm very happy," end quote. Aldi plans a closing party for Doubles 2 next month. Full disclosure, WGXC web streams events from Hilo in Catskill. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a high wind warning from 7 p.m. Sunday, February 24th until 7 p.m. Monday, February 25th. The National Weather Service also predicts rain Sunday morning with a high near 47. Sunday night, also 30% chance of rain, possibly snow showers, with a low around 23. Monday should be partly sunny with a high near 31 and a low around 13. And Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 20 and a low around 6. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
Follow me. city, you wanna call me? 100 mother can't tell me how I'm supposed to look when I'm angry, how I'm supposed to shrink when you're around me. Permission denied to rearrange me. I am the kingdom, I am not your queen. Hotep, better step from up around me. I am not your rib, I am not your Eve.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm from Hudson. I'm a student at Hudson High, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books for reading, bookish things, All that good stuff. And today, we're also going to talk about books.
Per usual.
Shocking! So, Amelia, what book did you want to talk about?
Right now in ELA, we're reading Of Mice and Men, which is a classic, so I'm sure a lot of people have read it, probably just mostly due to school assignments.
Mm-hmm. I read that in school as well.
It is sad. It True. Takes place during the economic depression, so it's not surprising that it would be sad, but it's just incredibly sad.
And for those rare people who have not read it, what's it about?
It is about these two men named Lenny and George who have gone to work as ranchers on a farm because they are struggling to find work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually such a short book that it's difficult to describe without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's only six chapters long, which is weird because I remember thinking it was a lot longer.
Nah, it's a
short.
Quick one.
Yeah.
I feel like the other Steinbeck that I've read has also been short. I kind of like that about it. I like a nice short read. Are you enjoying it, though, even though it's sad?
Yeah, actually, it's not a bad book. It's kind of interesting that we've gone from The Great Gatsby, which is the 1920s, to the 1930s and onward, which is the economic depression, that it goes in that chronological order with my assignments, It seems like. I don't know if that's intentional. It might be. I'm not sure.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, very different books.
Yeah.
Those two.
Both sad in the end, but very different.
And they're similar in that they're both classics that many people actually love.
Yeah. I loved The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
I love the book and I love the movie.
I think of Mice and Men was one of my favorite books that I read in high school that was a classic. I really loved that one. And I loved Lord of the Flies.
I read that last year.
Fahrenheit 451.
I have not read that, and I don't think I'm going to.
A lot of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Some Agatha Christie.
I've never read Agatha Christie. I wish we'd read Agatha Christie.
I think I got to read that as a, it was sort of a choice assignment, and I can't remember if it was specifically like you had to read a mystery novel or if it was just read a book and do these assignments on it. But it was definitely a unique read that I think I was the only one reading it in class. Mm. But it was freshman year of high school, and I remember being so excited because I solved the mystery. And it's like, that rarely happened for me in those books. It was always like the surprise ending, and this one I was like, I figured it out. Felt really smart.
You figured it out like before the end of the book?
Yeah.
I love trying to do that with like mystery movies and mystery books.
Mm-hmm. I was just very proud of myself. Pat on the back. Ninth grade, Emily. It was a good time. But but yeah, I like, I haven't read Steinbeck in a while. I read Cannery Row. That's probably even like 10 years ago, but that's the most recent one I've read, and I really enjoyed that one as well. But I'd like to read some more of him, because I like his writing style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Are you reading anything on your own outside of school?
Yeah, I'm still reading Wings of Fire when I get the chance. It's difficult, yeah. Though. Dance competition season is coming up, and I have to always be reading my A Push textbook.
Oh, yes. What's your dance competition?
The soonest one coming up, the first one's going to be early March, I believe.
What kind of dance are you doing this year?
I do tap, and I do hip-hop.
Cool.
And I also do, like, some musical theater, but that's a recreational, not a competitive one.
Nice. Sounds fun.
It is very fun. I get a really cool costume this year because I'm dancing to a song from The Greatest Showman.
Oh, cool. Is that for tap or
that hip-hop? It's actually production, which is the biggest dance number that includes almost the entirety of the dancers in the gym.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It's difficult, though.
I would like to know how to tap. I did one whole day of tap class. In my life. And then I decided I just wanted to do ballet.
Aww.
So, and then I quit ballet.
I tried not ballet. Last long. I tried ballet and I did not like it.
I liked it until I didn't. And then that stopped. Hmm. But anyways, back to books. I have a couple books that I've read recently that I could share.
Ooh, yeah.
So I read a couple comic books recently, and I forget how I learned about these, if they were on like best of lists or books you might like if you've read this list, but somehow I found these books and got them in at the library and checked them out, and they were both very good in different ways. So one of them is called Zenobia. It's by Morten Durr with illustrations by Lars Horneman, and I'm going to read the description for this one actually, because it's a little hard for me to explain, but I'll try after. A deeply moving and award-winning graphic novel about a young Syrian refugee. Zenobia was once a great warrior queen of Syria whose reign reached from Egypt to Turkey. She was courageous. No one gave her orders. Once she even went to war against the Emperor of Rome. When things feel overwhelming for Amina, her mother reminds her to think of Zenobia and be strong. Amina is a Syrian girl caught up in a war that reaches her village. To escape the war, she boards a small boat crammed with other refugees. The boat is rickety, and the turbulent seas send Amina overboard. In the dark water, Amina remembers playing hide-and-seek with her mother and making dolmas, stuffed grape leaves, and the journey she had to undertake with her uncle to escape. And she thinks of the brave warrior, Zenobia. Zenobia is a heartbreaking and all-too-real story of one child's experience of war. Told with great sensitivity, in few words, and almost exclusively with pictures, Zenobia is a story for children and adults.
That's interesting.
And, yeah.
And it said there were pictures in it?
Yeah, it's a graphic novel.
Oh, it's a graphic novel.
And it's very short format graphic novel in that it's a very quick read. There's not that many words. It's fairly short, but it's very powerful, even in a shorter, sort of less complex plot and storytelling. But it starts off with this young woman, Amina, on a boat, and the boat gets in an accident and she's sort of drifting down in the water. And then throughout the story, it cuts back and forth between her and the water and her memories of before. They kind of show how she ended up where she is.
Oh.
And it's just very sad, and but very powerful at the same time. And I liked the short format of it. I thought it was a very good use of that format.
Yeah.
So that is Zenobia by Morten Durr, with illustrations by Lars Hornemann. Mm-hmm. And the other one I read is very different. It's called Louisa Now and Then by Carol Morrell, and it was adapted by Mariko Tamaki. So I didn't do a lot of research on this one's origins, but my understanding is that Carol Morrell kind of wrote the original story, and maybe even it was a graphic novel at that point, and then Mariko Tamaki took that story and sort of revamped it.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure how much she was involved in the text versus just the illustrations.
Yeah.
But it's set in France, and the main character is named Louisa. She's 32, and she, in the story, encounters her 15-year-old self. So the 15-year-old Louisa shows up in Paris many years later, so 17 years. She gets on a bus and shows up 17 years in the future and meets her future self. And at first they can't believe that they're the same person, but it becomes sort of obvious and undeniable. And they have to try to figure out both how to live with one another and also if there's a way to get 15-year-old Louisa home.
That's interesting.
And Louisa Now and Then is the title of the book, and it sort of deals with some of the issues that Louisa then was dealing with and how they're impacting Louisa now. And also, you know, for the 15-year-old self, she's also seeing what lies in her future. So it's like, you know, what were her dreams for her future versus what's her current reality? And then for current Louisa, she's also having to accept, you know, where she's at and
yeah,
and her own life and what her dreams were as a child and what they are now and what her reality is. So it's very interesting. It doesn't dive too deeply into some, I feel like some sci-fi things with time travel. It's like, you're not supposed to meet yourself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How does meeting yourself change things?
It sounds like it's
going
to be like more loose with like the rules.
Yeah.
Tell a different like kind of story.
And I feel like it doesn't have any of, there are some weird things that happen occasionally and it's not really explained what is happening that maybe have to do with that. But I think it's more about how the experience of connecting with each other impacts them in the future. You get sort of a glimpse of how that might happen in the end, but
I prefer sci-fi like time travel stories that kind of don't stick too tightly to the rules of like time travel and stuff, because like half of the fun of time travel is, in my opinion, characters meeting themselves. And I don't know why that is, but I think that's what's most interesting about it.
Yeah, so this one was really fun. I think it is geared more towards an adult audience since they center the story on the 32-year-old, although there are parts where it centers more on the 15-year-old. But it did feel like it was geared more towards an adult. I do think teens would enjoy it, especially if they like a good time travel story and that element. And I do think it's appropriate for teens, but I would give that as a... It doesn't seem like it was written specifically for teens.
Yeah.
But Mariko Tamaki is great, so people that are fans of her work, too, might really like it. So yeah, I suggest that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now I'm also reading the third book in the Delilah Dirk series. So the first one was Delilah Dirk and the Turkish Lieutenant. Then there was Delilah Dirk and the King's Shilling. And now it's Delilah Dirk and the Pillars of Hercules. And these books are by Tony Cliff. And they're really fun. They're historical. She's an adventurer. She's really good at sort of getting herself in and out of trouble. Yeah. And I really like the characters as well. So that's cool. It's got a little bit of a, I think it's set farther in the past, but it's got a little bit of an Indiana Jones kind of feel in terms of the adventures.
Yeah.
And the locales. But I like that it's a strong, like, female lead in the book. So that's fun so far. I really liked the first two, so I'm hoping this one will finish off strong. Started off good so far.
I don't know if anyone, but do you remember the Magic Treehouse books? Because I used to read those
read
all
them.
The time. And I remember that there was one having to do with, like, history and all that. Because it was, like, a time-traveling treehouse, I think.
Cool.
I can't remember anything else besides that.
Yeah, those came after my time, but I know they're very popular. And my nephew really loved them for a while.
Yeah.
Till he sort of aged out a little bit.
But I aged out of them too. There's just so many.
One thing I think is cool about them is they often have companion informational books. So if there's a book set in like ancient Egypt or in Egypt, even not ancient, they'll have a book that talks about that place or time.
Huh.
That's less story oriented. It's more information oriented.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. Because sometimes when I'm reading historical fiction, it makes me want to learn more about that time or place. Then I can look it up.
Yeah.
So it's nice that the book's right there for you. It's like custom made just for you.
Yeah, I love those. Like, there used to be, I think in the John L. Edwards Library, maybe? I can't quite remember. It's been a long time.
Remember John L. Edwards?
It's been a long time since I've been there, and I don't even think it's considered part of the school district anymore,
no,
is it?
They closed
it. It's gone. Sad.
Yeah.
But I think it was in that library where I found, like, a book about ancient Egypt.
Hmm.
Both about how they built the pyramids and the mummification process was like a whole chapter. And I remember that chapter like both freaking me out and fascinating me beyond belief.
Yeah, I had a favorite picture book, informational picture book when I was a kid that was about mummies. It was about ancient Egypt. And the part that I really remember was there was a page that was about the mummification process and it showed the different steps of what they would do, like, that they would take out your organs, and then they would do this, and then they would do that.
Startled.
And the pictures were very disturbing to me.
Were they,
even though,
like,
they were drawings.
Was it, like, a children's book, or was it, like,
yeah,
detailed?
It was
or?
A children's book. It wasn't, like, super detailed, but I just remember there being, like, a hole in somebody's stomach and something going in the hole, and I was like, that's, I don't know.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. It was just the first time I'd seen something like that in a
picture. No, the only thing I remember this book showing was, like, maybe canopic jars and all the heads on the different ones. Because it represented the four gods that would guard those parts of the body.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah. There was another... I'm trying to think. Because there were a ton of these mythology books in the library. But I think another one I got, like, I purchased for myself was a Greek and Norse mythology books.
Cool.
Which I think I've talked about with, oh my gosh. His name.
Fahim?
Oh no. Yes. Yes. I can't believe this. I can't believe I forgot his name. I had a moment.
Our co-host Fahim, who we don't see often enough.
We don't see him as often anymore.
But he loves mythology.
He
and
loves
especially, them. I feel like, fiction books that are based on mythology.
Yeah. Rick Riordan books. He loves those. And it's like, I think, doesn't Rick Riordan have a series about Norse mythology too now, I think?
I think so. Yeah, because isn't the, I forget what they're called. He does have a new series that I'm pretty sure is Norse mythology.
Yeah.
And then he has an imprint now that is